just a small town girl living in a lonely world. Well, I was born in a small town.
I love this town.
This city, oh, is my city.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brian Altimer and Billy Yost of The Sidekick. And we are known as, Sidecar, The Kickback. You're allowed to correct me, Billy. You're just smiling like, she'll figure it out later. Someone will whisper in her ear. You can tell me on the air, Mike, when I get something wrong. It's completely acceptable.
The Kickback.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's The Kickback.
Welcome.
We are known as the voice of Chicago, but in the middle of the night, people can hear us all over the country, 38 states and Canada. Plus, we are on podcasts. We're online. And there's such a great big world out there, really. I want to know more about people listening to us because we want to listen to you. If you go to Wikipedia, that's how I'm going to start this out. Our very first town chosen by Mike, and I think this is a great choice, is Woodstock, Illinois. So, if you know, I'm like, well, I want to know more about Woodstock. My first thing I'm going to do is go to Wikipedia, because in 2010, the census report was that there are about 20,000 people living in Woodstock, Illinois, that it was actually previously known as Center City, and then became Woodstock, Illinois, which is named after a town in Vermont, because the original guy, I don't know if he settled it. Mike Turner can tell us more
I can tell you a little bit more
about the history. Come a little bit closer.
Originally called Centerville. Actually,
Centerville.
So that's correct. So.
And the town was changed to Woodstock to give it a little more character.
It was, and you know, it's always had a reputation as kind of being a place out in the middle of nowhere, but quite frankly, there's plenty going on, and it's a lot closer than people realize.
Well, it's a train ride away.
It is a train ride
away. It's a Metra train
ride. 1 hour train ride away drops you right off in our downtown right next to the square.
And I had no idea that Orson Welles was originally had gone to school in
Woodstock,
Illinois.
Yeah, that was his boyhood home, and he was actually very instrumental as well in the development and the growth of the Woodstock Opera House, and he still has a very strong following among people there. We celebrate his achievements, and there's folks that actually have a Wells Fest and do movies. A group called Woodstock Celebrates. They do a terrific job, and so yeah, big connection.
What a great honor. Yes, Mike?
You know, I was just going to say, there's also another famous person that comes from Woodstock, Illinois, who went to school there as well, and that's your own Michael Heidemann.
Did you really?
Yeah. It's Marion Central,
there you
class
go.
Of 04.
Go figure. Because when you drive into Woodstock, it has that great town square. We know it from Woodstock, from the movie Groundhog Day. And we see it over and over and over again in the people that are in the town. How did Woodstock get chosen? Why did Harold Ramis choose Woodstock?
So Harold was actually relying on a guy named Bob Hudkins, who did the site selection. He was the pre-movie guy looking at places. And he, in fact, was very... They initially were very turned on to Mineral Point, Wisconsin, and that's where it was. They were leaning very heavily toward Mineral Point, but then there were some issues around. They wanted to stay closer to Chicago. At the time, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis had family connections here.
Sure.
And they came upon Woodstock in the square, and actually Harold Ramis visited it and walked around and pretty instantly said, this is it.
It's picturesque.
Because it's picturesque. It worked for the film, and it has kind of an enduring look.
It really does. And plus, and you have all the components, even like with the county courthouse.
Yes.
It's one of those great buildings.
The courthouse and the Woodstock Opera House really kind of form the base of the square. But mm-hmm. there's plenty of other historical buildings around it. But those two certainly stand out. And the community is very proud of them. We try to take very good care of them as well.
And Mike now has mentioned where he went to school. What are the schools like? I mean, what's the range of the population? Like, let's say how big is the high school?
So the high schools, there's two high schools, two public high schools, Woodstock and Woodstock North. They're both around 900 students apiece. And then Marion Central, which is a private school, is roughly around 700 or so
okay.
people.
So pretty now, sizable.
The district out there is very unique. It actually has a dual language program that is one of the, it is award-winning. It is highly regarded, and it's public, and you know it has tremendous success, and it's not that old. Maybe 8, 9 years old, 10 years old or so. I don't have that exactly correct, but it's very unique and does a tremendous job.
In what sense? Are they teaching dual language from kindergarten on?
Kindergarten on up, yeah.
Okay, see, this is something that needs to be happening in the rest of the country because there are other parts of the world where they start dual language education starting with kindergarten.
Yeah.
Like if you travel other places. So what's the other language?
It's Spanish. It's Spanish and English, and it's complete immersion into both sides. They teach, you know, a class of students is being taught in both languages. And, you know, there's initial concern about a struggle perhaps when kids are really young, but in fact, kids are the ones that can pick it up. And so it's seen tremendous success. And I believe the district is about to or has just graduated their first class in that. But it's something the community is very proud of.
See, and this is why we have the segment. I had no idea about. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the name of the segment. I had no idea.
I had no idea.
I'm glad that we did something to solidify the segment.
Well, and I'm sure that's not the only element of Woodstock that is surprising to people. I had no idea that it was a typewriter capital.
It was, yeah. Actually, there was a big typewriter factory to the north of the current train station, and that, you know, ran its course, and then the site needed to go through some redevelopment, and so that's currently still going on. There was a lot of things under the ground that were not necessarily good. That's been all cleaned up, and now it's actually it's partially developed. We've got more that we want to do with it, and we want to tie it in down past the train station, Main Street, down to the square. So it's a complete plan as part of the city to develop that area, and it's beautiful.
And how much of an impact? That must have been significant when the typewriter industry sort of collapsed when people moved away from using typewriters. What kind of came in as the supplement for commerce then?
So I expect it was very bad. I wasn't there at the time. So we're very driven by building. We're driven by light manufacturing. We're driven by service. We're driven by people that will work in the suburbs or take the train downtown to the city. We're the county seat, so we have substantial presence as it relates to county workers. Also, we're strong in hospitals as well. And there's a lot of small little entrepreneurs that also look to Woodstock. That Woodstock has an authentic kind of creative streak to it, and it's something that we actually are promoting with the city in a campaign that we call Real Woodstock. And so Real Woodstock is meant to capture that authenticity and uniqueness, culture, music, arts, and try to tie the, and it ties the community together.
And when people, when you mentioned that there are people who work in the suburbs and commute to Woodstock, I mean, it is kind of a great blend of, I don't think of it as a suburb. I think of it as a town. So you can have that sort of town living right here, about an hour away from Chicago.
So, and you're actually onto something there. So Woodstock can kind of be what you want it to be, meaning if you're looking to escape the cookie cutter suburbs, sorry to the rest of the suburbs. I mean, but
you and your cul-de-sacs, we're looking at you.
But if you feel you want to escape that either as a visitor or a place to live, Woodstock has that separate feel from the rest of the city. However, hour to O'Hare, hour and 10 downtown on the train, it can very much behave and feel like a suburb as well. And that's kind of the uniqueness of it.
And you probably have a lot of homes that date back to like even the Civil War times.
We do. I mean, the 1800s. The plaqued homes in the historical district. So the historical district is not just the square. It actually extends out from the square, and it does plaque. And we have some, you know, some regulations on how things are developed in order to preserve those homes. There are some gorgeous stately homes there, and we really continue to invest in those.
It's an amazing story, and you do have Groundhog Day coming up this week. What can people do? Can they come and watch? Is it Willie? Is Willie still
Woodstock Willie? Is our version that walks around in the movie is obviously Punxsutawney Phil. So there's actually a whole host of things that we have. Everything starts with the Woodstock Awakening, actually, which is on the night of the first, where the Woodstock, the groundhog is actually on the top of the, or on the balcony of the Opera House as the Awakening. And then the prognostication is at 7 a.m. on Thursday the 2nd. We get thousands of visitors who come out for that. And then throughout the week, weekend, there are things going on as it relates to, there's actually Bob Huggins, who I mentioned earlier, actually is doing a walking tour. And it is of note that Bob is doing it for the last time on the 25th anniversary, where Bob is going to be conducting walking tours on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Is anyone taking over for the walking tours?
I don't know if anybody's taking over for that. We are filming. He's not passing it on to anybody else, but maybe we certainly need to find somebody, and I think our Woodstock Groundhog Days committee will be all over that. But he's been an icon for us because he found the city, mm-hmm. and he was part of the production, and he's been coming back ever since to do these tours. So the entire schedule of events is on realwoodstock.com, and that will have everything related to Groundhog Day festivities.
Go to realwoodstock.com. More with our guests when we come back in just a little bit. I want to find out about, like, the restaurants and, you know, just the day-to-day mm-hmm. in Woodstock, Illinois. We're hanging out with Brian Altimer's Riding Sidecar tonight. We have Billy Yost of The Kickback, and we have our new friend Mike Turner, who's telling us all about Woodstock, Illinois. I had no idea. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brian Altimer, who's riding Sidecar tonight. We have Billy Yost of the Sidekick, the Kickback. I'm going to get it.
The Kickback?
I got it. Thank you very much, Michael Heideman. The Kickback. He'll be performing another song when we come back after the next segment. And he'll be performing at Dunfest February 16th. Also joining us in studio is comedian Adam Burke, who's performing at Zany's. What's your dates coming up?
Wednesday.
Which microphone are you?
Wednesday.
You're headlining on Wednesday. Excellent. And one of my favorite clubs. And now one of my favorite. I kind of like Woodstock before. Like, I like driving through and looking at all the pretty stuff. Now Woodstock has become my favorite go-to city because Mike Turner's been telling us all the cool stuff there. All the stuff you've seen in Groundhog Day. I didn't realize that a couple scenes from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was also filmed
there. Yes, it
was. So you guys are a destination for a couple of the people like doing the movie tours, because there is that element of like, hey, I remember this from the movie.
Yeah, we get people it's from overseas, Australia, Europe, across the United States every single year. They show up.
And that movie, was it big when it came out? Because my recollection of it kind of became more of a cult classic.
So I think it's a little like some of Harold Ramis's movies, that it has grown over time.
Yeah.
But the staying power of it's been very strong. It's a mix of, you know, of goofy humor, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And followed by the redemption and kind of a good story, right?
There's a darkness to it. There's a little bit of darkness to it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's one of my favorite movies of all time, too. I mean, not only because I was growing up in Woodstock and McHenry County at that time, but just, I remember when we were, when it was filming at the time, I was young, and the big thing to do for the town was to go to Woodstock and see Bill Murray, like, and watch them do the ice sculptures them, like, just walk around and do the scenes for a little bit. So I remember everyone would just gather in their coats and just, like, stare and watch the film the entire time. And my dad actually, he bumped into Bill Murray. And since you're, like, in this small town, it was, like, everyone was encapsulated in this perfect bubble. And the square has not changed, like, one bit since the movie was filmed, too. So it's a really cool place to go and check that out.
Can you hear what he was saying?
I can.
Okay.
So it's maintained what it was back then, I think, as far as being authentic and very cool. But it's also, you know, we've continued to work to make it better. You know,
sure.
we pay attention, you know, the shops, the things that are going on, the culture, the restaurants and all that, you know, have changed a little bit. But the essence of the square, when you walk in there, it's kind of got this timeless look to it. And, you know, being able to connect with the movie, as you said, very cool thing.
It is. Well, it's one thing to sort of be this backdrop to a movie and attract people, but you have to back that up with something, and you want them to keep coming back as well.
Correct. And you talk about when it was being filmed, actually, rather than keeping people out and away from the set, mm-hmm. Harold Ramis allowed folks to, you know, to actually get pretty close.
He was a genuinely sweet guy.
He was.
I had the pleasure of meeting him once and doing stand-up comedy with him, which is just a blessing and one of the greatest nights of my life. You were also telling me that there's some place called Wonder Tucky. What's Wonder Tucky? I wrote down the note and apparently missed.
So in the break, we got into a brief discussion on bourbon, and actually Woodstock has a distillery in it called Wonder Tucky, which has been developed, I have, over the last 2-3 years or so, but they're now at the point where they're in production. I've had it. It's very good, very good product if you like bourbon. And
as you know, I do.
It's right in it's right in downtown Woodstock. Wow. So they have a tasting room, and again, part of the unique culture and things that we do, and the things that we highlight. One of the things we try to highlight in our Real Woodstock campaign and on realwoodstock.com are things like Wonder Tucky. and the whole variety of restaurants, culture, and things going on there.
This is fascinating to me. Again, you also said that there's a Wells festival because mm-hmm. Orson Welles went to school there. You also have, we were on your on the Wikipedia page, Claus and Pickles.
Yeah, Claus and Pickles. That's yeah. They have their factory on the west side of town. It's in the city, and so yeah, that's where they come from. You got to make them somewhere, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, but what inspired them to locate in Woodside? Yeah. I'm guessing they have factories around the country, or is this the major?
To my knowledge, it's the major place where they're
for
made.
Claus
You'd have
Pickles.
To ask the folks at Kraft, who I think own Claus and know, but it's one of the major places, yeah. Yeah.
Is there ever, does it smell like dill pickles?
It does not. No, that's a good question, but so, no, it doesn't.
One of the things about Claus was that it was founded, on the south side of Chicago, on 51st and West.
Was it?
Yeah, and then they ended up getting bought out, and then it's out in... Woodstock now, which is...
And all the doors of the plant, you have to get to someone to loosen them first.
Because they're so tight.
And don't forget, if you ever want to go down to Woodstock, there's always Pickle Palooza that they have. I know that's a big thing.
Okay, so yeah, I'm guessing you have a lot of fests.
There are a lot of fests.
Yes.
So some of the, Groundhog Day is the big one. Mm-hmm. There's actually a very big community fundraiser called the Gaver's Barn Dance. Which is attended by upwards of 3,000, if not over 3,000 people, been going on for pushing now 16, 18 years. They have raised millions for cancer research, and it is the social event of the summer. We also have Farmers Market on the downtown square every Tuesday and Saturday during the summertime, which is a terrific place to go to. And then lighting of the square is another big event for us. That's been a historical thing for us that we've been doing for a long time. We get 3,000-4,000 people, if not more, on the square for the lighting. It's just a very kind of Americana type of look to it and event.
Yeah, and the thing is, you really have to have people in the community that are invested in this. And just looking at the schedule over the next week through February 11th, you have culminating in the black jeans and tie event.
Yes.
Jeans and black tie.
Blue
event.
Jeans and black tie. And
I've
so
heard
that's,
both ways.
That's the District 200 fundraiser that's associated with Groundhog Day as well. So all of these things are done by volunteers. I mean, the people, Rick Belairs, Craig Crandall, and the guys and men and women who are on that committee and have been doing so for many years, they're the ones that help make this happen.
So in a town of 20,000 people, I'm guessing these are very popular events, not just with the people who live there, but from surrounding communities. But how much do you know the people in your town? How much has it got that small town, really knowing a little too much about each other?
Probably, in a positive way, I'll
yes.
say. Probably quite a bit.
Quite a
okay?
bit.
So
yeah.
Mike told me 12 things in the green room that I'm not allowed to ever repeat again. Yeah,
it's in our brief time together, we went through the entire list.
Yeah.
So no, you go out for dinner, drinks, you're out walking around, you see a lot of people, and that's good. I'm not meaning to joke about it. It's not a bad thing. It is actually a sense of community, and it's part of the small town piece of that makes the city great.
Right, is knowing each other. And do you have, I always feel badly because my idea of a town is kind of like Gilmore Girls and Stars Hollow mm-hmm. and having these, do you have town meetings where people get together and talk about what's going on, either it's current events or issues with street signs? And
so in that sense, it's normal to other towns, meaning that it's, it's the same structure as other places with city council or school mm-hmm. board meetings. And so I think that, the community is very involved in those things.
That's
meaning,
what I
when
imagine.
Issues come up,
right.
we work to address them. I think that our council works very, very well. Things that we've tried to do to advance the town, we get input from community leaders and local citizens, et cetera, the same as anywhere else.
Well, and that's the thing too that I'm fascinated by is that because we live in a big city, we're all sort of disjointed. We don't show up for meetings and things like that. That's why I was wondering how much you guys knew each other, from block to block and from school to school. It seems like there's a lot of interconnection.
There is a lot of, yeah, there is. And it's great.
It's great. Well, okay, again, for Groundhog Day, which is this week, and
yep.
is kind of the big event of the year, but there are so many great events in Woodstock. That's starting this Wednesday?
Starts this Wednesday evening with the prognostication then on Thursday morning. That's the first day of the big events. You can get the entire schedule at realwoodstock.com. And if you want to see what's going on in Woodstock anytime throughout the year, go to the same place, realwoodstock.com.
And how accurate has Woodstock Willie been?
God, I hope he doesn't see a shadow and I'm ready for an early spring.
We'll see what happens. We're going to have some more music from Billy Yost when we come back from the kickback. Brian Altimer joins us, Mike Turner in studio from Woodstock, Illinois, and comedian Adam Burke, who is performing at the Zanies on Wells Wednesday night. I think that we're going to have, I'm sure there's going to be some... you know, passionate conversation about what's going on. I don't know. Is there anything going on in the news that you want to talk about, Adam Burke?
It's been a pretty quiet week.
Yes, yeah, it's, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. This tick will go away soon. More after this on 720 WGN.